Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Michael Whatley, chairperson of the Republican National Committee, checking in. Good morning, Michael.
It's good to be on with you.
It's great to be on with you. I do want to get to what's going on in Georgia, what's happening in Pennsylvania, and a lot of, you know, as you know, everybody listening is anxious to know what is going to happen. And this is, in so many ways, no matter what side of the political aisle people are on, nobody really knows what's going to happen. So there's that going on. But for Trump supporters, and I will tell you, Michael, we were inundated yesterday with phone calls because this phony story, this fake news, as you well know, and it was made national news, but it was right here. And this ridiculous narrative that continues to be carried out on some of our local media and national media that somehow Trump had this moment of senility and was putting on a music concert, ended the great rally in Oaks, PA early. It was a lie. And we had multiple witnesses who were there. We've confirmed that that was a big lie. Thankfully, ABC News was there and they did the right thing and said, no, people were having medical emergencies. It got hot and stuffy. And so Trump was compassionate to people. And so it's another example, though, of unfortunately the media being complicit with partisan politics with Democrats.
Yeah, look, the media is not going to be fair to Donald Trump. The media has never been fair to Donald Trump. They're never going to be fair to Donald Trump, which is why he, you know, it's so important that he is that once in a generation ability to go out and talk directly to the American voters. And it's so important that he does that. And I think that, you know, we're going to continue to have him at events where he can talk directly to the people of Pennsylvania, but also all the other states, North Carolina and Georgia and Arizona and Nevada. You know, he's doing a fantastic job right now of blanketing all of these states. And, you know, we're seeing the same with J.D. Vance and all of the rest of the surrogates that are out there right now pounding to make sure that people understand that it's the time. You know, and we're seeing right now early voting has started. Absentee ballot, mail-in ballot has already started in a lot of these battleground states. So we're in the maelstrom. You know, we really are at this point in the middle of the voting cycle. And I'm really optimistic. I'm really upbeat. You know, we look at voter registration numbers. We look at the early voting numbers, the mail-in voting numbers, who's requested them, who's returned them. You know, we're all kind of, as you said, trying to read the tea leaves here. And see, you know, what is happening in real time. And what I do see so far, I really like. And I think that, you know, President Trump has, you know, managed to pull better in every one of these battleground states than he did in 2016 or 2020. And we're excited about the enthusiasm that we see on the ground. And we've got a lot of great supporting cast with our senators and our candidates for Senate. You know, we're looking at Eric Hovde up in Wisconsin and Mike Rogers in Michigan and of course, Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania, Bernie Moreno over in Ohio, who are all doing absolutely great job kind of making sure that people understand how close they are to Donald Trump, but also that they're understanding the nuances, the importance, the issues in their respective states. So as we're heading into, you know, these last 3 weeks, I really like where we're at, and I certainly am happier than Kamala's team is.
And that's what I see as well here. I just want to ask you about another race, and that is one that's not getting as many headlines as the challenge by Republican Dave McCormick, of course, a combat veteran and somebody who's a very successful businessman as well, born and raised here in Pennsylvania, against, you know, really taking on a giant with a legacy name because of his dad, Bob Casey Jr. But the other case is this Pennsylvania 7th District, and that's Susan Wild, the incumbent, being challenged by Republican Ryan McKenzie. What do you see on that one as far as the House race that could predict? Some say that this race is the one that could predict the presidency.
I think that's right, and it's an important district. It's an important part of the state. And Ryan is doing an absolutely great job of making sure that he is introducing himself directly to those voters, and he's out there. You know, we've got a couple pickup opportunities in Pennsylvania. We really need to expand that majority in the House. I've been working very closely with the Speaker, Mike Johnson, Richard Hudson, who runs the Congressional Committee for the House Republicans. And we're very optimistic, you know, that when President Trump wins this thing, you know, we're going to be able to pick up 10 or 15 additional seats. And we do have a few of them in Pennsylvania that we've got a really good opportunity for.
And so as far as storm ravaged, the seven states, really, Florida, and I know in that would be North Carolina, South Carolina, how much of this storm and the recovery that I got to tell you, Michael, I'm shocked that it does not get bigger headlines. Well, I shouldn't be shocked, but what people are dealing with that storm ravaged area, the death toll expected to, you know, every day it goes up, and we have nearly 100 people still missing. How much does the storm aftermath and Hurricanes Helene and Milton impact the vote?
Yeah, big kudos to the state legislature in Georgia and North Carolina, because they were able to kind of make sure that we have the voting systems are going to be in place for, you know, all of the people in the western part of the state in North Carolina and all through the storm track in Georgia. We've been working with the North Carolina party and the Georgia party. Right now, what we're seeing is thousands of families who've been displaced. We've seen counties that absolutely have been turned upside down, but power is beginning to come back on. We're seeing roads that are being cleared and are up and running. The Board of Elections and the legislature have assured us that they are going to have polling locations open. People are absolutely going to be able to vote. And so what we're doing right now is communicating with all of those families, all of those voters, and saying, here's how you vote, where you vote, and when you vote, just to make sure that they understand any changes that we've had to make. You know, if, for example, if the precinct is, you know, always at a school and that school has been destroyed, well, then we're going to have to find another place, you know, to move the precinct. But I will tell you this, the people of North Carolina, the Western North Carolina, are absolutely ready to vote. They are excited about this election. They support Donald Trump. And it is going to take more than a storm to keep them from going and casting their votes.
There was a new study that came out of Arizona Christian University, said that millions of Christians, in particular evangelicals, are going to stay home and abstain from voting. That one took me by surprise. Are you looking at the Christian vote and in America, but as well, I would imagine, the Bible vote, and what that study is all about?
Yeah, we are, you know, and it's been an interesting phenomenon, because about half of evangelicals are not even registered to vote across the country. And so we've had a lot of effort to try and reach out to that community to get them involved. We've been working, you know, with great leaders in the faith community, guys like Ralph Reed and others, to kind of make sure that we are talking to these people. We are reaching out to these people. Donald Trump has a major faith event coming up in North Carolina on Monday. We just had one in North Carolina with J.D. Vance last week. On Friday, we're going to be doing one down in Georgia with Ben Carson and Ralph Reed. So, you know, this is a community that we're working very aggressively on and, you know, trying to make sure that they understand, because Kamala Harris has said that she is going to be the most radical, progressive president ever. She is absolutely no restrictions on abortion whatsoever, even though that is way outside the mainstream for the American voters. She is going to fight every day for transgenders and make sure that taxpayers are paying for transgender surgeries for, you know, prisoners and illegal aliens. She said that she's going to fight to allow boys and women's sports and men and women's locker rooms. She is absolutely outside the mainstream. And when it comes to protecting religious liberties, Donald Trump has walked the walk. He was the most pro-life president in the history of this country. And he is going up against a lady who said that she will be She really is the most pro-abortion candidate really in the history of the country.
She also claims that she worked at a McDonald's, but apparently nobody can find the McDonald's or the record of that, which brings me to Philadelphia. There are reports here in Pennsylvania and even Philadelphia that this weekend, former President Trump may be at a McDonald's, maybe frying up some fries. Is that true?
That's what we're hearing. And I think, you know, it just is a great way, again, for the president to go out and communicate directly with the voters. And when, you know, there is a lot that you can do with an event. And you know, the Democrats are going to continue to call it a stunt. But you know what? It shows the American people that he is serious about this campaign. And Kamala Harris is just not trustworthy.
You know, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for taking the time with us. And Godspeed. Michael, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Take care. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.